you know, I'm just really going to concentrate on the way we played today. And this was the game that we concentrated on. That last one was over, and certainly that last season's over. So we're excited about the direction we're going in. We're excited about the work we've been getting out of these men in practice, and we'll see what tomorrow brings.
This is a Cock Dodgers podcast.
What happens in Vegas?
Carr with time.
What happens in Vegas? First down, touchdown, Super Bowl. Vegas Heat, Sin City, Street's greatest Tuco.
Touchdown.
Carr to Waller. It can't be stopped.
Josh Jacobs.
Jacobs with the rock. O-line hit the blocks. Offense off the chain. Defense is ready.
Oh, it's Henry.
Raider Nation will go. Just win Vegas.
For the touchdown.
What happens in Vegas? What happens in Vegas? What up, Raider Nation? It's your boy Neil Maligno. You're listening to What Happens in Vegas, a Raiders only podcast where we cover the Raiders every single episode, every single word out of our mouth. That's all it's about is the Raiders, whether it's a game preview, a game recap, a week look ahead at the week, stuff that's happening in pop culture, fantasy football related Raider stuff. It doesn't matter what it is, it's Raiders all the time. The Raiders are 5-2. They're coming off a big victory against the Eagles. Honestly, it might have been one of the most dominant performances of the year. It might have been the most dominant performance of the season. Honestly, it was amazing. It was an amazing game. And, you know, it didn't start off great. You know, the Eagles came out and scored first. And I'm like, man, this could get ugly. And then, things just happened to go the Raiders' way after that. It just... You know, everything started coming together, whether it was the offense, the defense, big plays, turnovers, touchdowns, everything started coming together. So this was a great all-around team win. You don't come out of this game and go, man, the offense carried this team. Man, the defense carried this team. Oh, man, if it wasn't for that one play on special teams, this team would have lost this game. You don't come out like that. You leave this game. It's the kind of game you leave and you're like, that was a dominant performance from beginning to end. On all sides of the ball. And that's what you want to see week in and week out. If you want to be a playoff team, a championship team, that's what you need to see. Sure, the Eagles scored points late. Jalen Hurts started making some things happen. That's just kind of their MO, honestly. It is what it is, okay? Overall, super dominant performance. Let's look at Derek Carr really fast, right? Like, this is a guy who, as a Raider fan, you've had... the ups and downs of Derek Carr. Like if you say that 100% of the time you have felt happy, content, elated, confident that Derek Carr was the quarterback that would lead this team to a Super Bowl, you're a liar. You're a liar. If you're a Raider fan and you say that, you're a liar. Because there's been plenty of times where the seasons just have not gone how we wanted them to. They've never ended how we wanted them to. And it's easy to blame the quarterback. The quarterback always gets blamed when a team doesn't perform well. Like, I mean, just look at the Eagles, for instance. Jalen Hurts is the one getting talked about the most, more than anything. No one's like, oh, their wide receivers are so bad. Oh, they, you know, I mean, they have a bunch of things wrong with them. But the only thing you see on like Twitter and all these places is, oh, we can't win with Jalen Hurts. We got to get rid of Jalen Hurts. They're not. Some people will talk about the O-line or some people will talk about the coaching, but the majority, the loudest voice you'll hear is that Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. That's what you're going to hear the most. So, in the same way, in the same vein, when the Raiders didn't play well, when their seasons didn't end how we wanted to, and that's been pretty much every season since Derek Carr has been here, except for, you know, a couple, maybe. You were not happy with the outcome. And even in that season, you weren't happy with the outcome, but Derek Carr played exceptionally well. So always Derek Carr has been sort of a scapegoat for this team, a guy that people would go to blame because he's the quarterback, he's the guy throwing the ball. He's the one that ultimately would get the credit for wins and the blame for losses along with like the head coach, right? And so you, as a Raider fan, you've always rooted for the guy. You've always cheered for the guy. He's that guy. Like, it's easy to pull for Derek Carr. He's a good human being. He's like a really good dude, a good leader. Like, he's that guy. And so you're always like, man, I just want the play to match up. And you didn't always want to put it on Carr. Like, the offensive line had issues. He's had no weapons. The coaches are in and out, changing coaches' names every single season. Playbooks changing. Everything's changing. But just naturally, you blame a quarterback. Like, naturally, that's just what you do. Like, when a team wants this instant restart or this refresh or this you know, new beginning, quote unquote. You just look at like, hey, we changed the quarterback, we changed the head coach. Those are things that you do. Like those are like staples of, you know, changing a team, you know, just restarting it. That's kind of what you look at. So he's always been a name that people have judged harshly, and the media has been on his ass. And everyone's just been on Derek Carr. And I've had my moments as well, like where I'm like, man, I love this guy. And more majority have been that way. I've always been a Derek Carr supporter. But there's always these moments of doubt, these moments of, you know, man, can this guy do it? And you see guys like Mahomes and Murray and all these guys just slinging the rock and making plays with their legs and just overcoming like crazy adversity just off themselves. And you're like, man, can Derek Carr do that? Like, can Derek Carr lead this team to where we're trying to go? And so sometimes that doubt would creep in, and you know, you'd be like, man, all right, listen, I've had enough of this. Like, let's. And it's not always like Derek Carr's fault. It's just like, again, if I want to restart something, you change the main players. You change the main characters. That's how you feel like you're getting a do-over, a start-over. Like, that's what you do. So it's not really that it was Derek Carr. You could put any name in there, and that's what you would do. You would say, change that guy. Change the quarterback. Change the coach. You know, change some of this. The main players, right? And so that's been the case a lot of times for Derek Carr. And he's even mentioned it, that like the media has gone harshly on him and people have always questioned him and stuff like that. This season, blame it on whatever you want. Blame it on how far he's, you know, been in this league and what he's learned and kind of, you know, overcome and the kind of player he's developed into. Blame it on having the same coaching or the same system, even more importantly, for a few years. Blame it on better talent. Blame it on whatever you want. But Derek Carr is one of the best quarterbacks in football right now. And you can say whatever you want as an opposing fan or as a bitter, pessimistic Raider fan, but that's just a fact. It's just a plain fact. I'm on Raiders.com right now, and they have some stats up here for Derek Carr. Let's just go over what they have really quick. 2,269 passing yards, second in the league. Most yards by Carr ever in his first seven games of his career. He's currently behind Tom Brady. That sounds pretty good. 91.2. In Sunday's game against the Eagles, Carr completed a career high 91.2% of his passes. That's crazy. It's the second time in his career that he's completed 90% of his passes with the minimum of 30 passes in a game. It's also the second highest completion percentage in a single game in league history. He so far has hit 8 different players for touchdown passes. Eight players. Not a team with, like, you know, one really good wide receiver, a pretty good tight end, a running back maybe, or maybe two good wide receivers. Eight different players. And we're talking about wide receivers, multiple tight ends, a running back, a fullback. Derek Carr spread it out. And that in itself is credit to the play calling, but also to Derek Carr for always finding the open player. Or trust in the receivers to make plays, you know, that's all on him, man. And obviously it's on the receivers for making the play, but it's on him for trusting it and for the team for calling it. He also leads the league in completions over 20 yards this season with 37, it says. According to Next Gen Stats, Carr's most improbable completion in his game against the Eagles was a 43-yard completion to Zay Jones on third and long. I mean, the guy was just killing it. So overall, he is having an MVP caliber season. His team record reflects it. His stats reflect it. His leadership reflects it. And we're talking about a guy who overcame so far, along with his teammates, the John Gruden drama, which makes no damn sense, which no player can truly prepare for, which is an oddity in itself. It's not something that normally happens. It seems to deal with. And it was funny because Rich Bisaccia, after the Eagles game, was asked this question on how can Derek Carr get to the next level, and this was his response.
Well, I'd say he's pretty close to the next level if you're going to go 31 or 34, and you just said the 91, 92%. But again, he's in concert with Greg, he's so accurate. I mean, he can go through an entire Wednesday and Thursday's practice, and there's possibly two incompletes or three incompletes, and he ends up throwing them again. So he's just got tremendous accuracy. He's got tremendous command of the offense. He knows where everyone's supposed to be. He's just, you know, his first one in the building, his last one to leave. It's just his preparation for the – I've been around a lot of good quarterbacks, but his preparation is really second to none. And I think he plays like he prepares.
I think that was a great answer. I think, you know, that really sums up, you know, what I'm saying here and how this team feels about Derek Carr and how the league and the fans and everyone else should feel about Derek Carr. He is pretty next level at this point. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, this is a, you know, a product of Derek Carr himself and all the work he's put in this, you know, system that he's been able to repeat in for multiple seasons. It also has a lot to do with, you know, the playmakers on this team, the play callers, and then, of course, the offensive line, which is really, you know, a big part of how this whole, you know, offense works and how any offense works is if that team up front can pass block and that team up front can run block and keep the quarterback safe, then the quarterback and the offense, most likely in turn, as long as everything else is good, is going to flourish. It's going to have success. And that's what Derek Carr has done here. And honestly, you know, when you listen to Colton Miller after the game, it seems like this team is just this offensive line, while it still has a lot of work and it's still constantly improving. It has a ton of young guys and it's just, you know, it's a work in progress and there's injuries and there's everything going on, but ultimately they're having fun.
Yeah, man, we had some fun out there. I mean, it was a really awesome game. And, you know, when we're able to drive the ball downfield and, you know, you're leaning on them and we're getting some big passes, man, it's awesome.
And as I've mentioned, as everybody knows, you know, the offensive line playing well, having fun, working hard. And obviously this team is at a great level as far as camaraderie and family and all that stuff goes. The chemistry is insane right now. Better than any Raider team that I could even think of in teams past. And you got to credit again, the players, the coaches, even the general manager and the team at Mayock has helped, you know, build with the players that he's gotten. But the O-line is not just helping Derek Carr. It's also helping this running game. Josh Jacobs got hurt in the game. He did have, you know, some good runs, a touchdown, obviously would have done more. He had some nice catches as well. Could have done more if he didn't get hurt. And it's looking like he'll be fine. Bruised chest. And so he should be good. But in the meantime, Kenyon Drake filling in and look good again for the second game in a row. Kenyon Drake had almost 70 rushing yards, another touchdown. And so, you know, this thing keeps happening. And, you know, when you ask Kenyon Drake, this is what he says.
I don't want to sound like a broken record or just saying cliche stuff, but I just try to go out there and make the most of my opportunities. You know, the Oli has been putting me in a great position to kind of, you know, make plays, obviously with Josh kind of going down and him being fine. So that was the most important thing. But I just kind of want to go out there and be a spark each and every time I'm on the field, making sure I do my job if I have the ball or if I don't have the ball. And these last couple weeks, I'm just continuing to feel comfortable. And the more I get opportunities, the better I feel like I get.
So, I mean, that's how Kenyon responds, you know, when asked about, you know, what's up with the recent success? Why do you have any reasoning for it? Can you explain why this is happening all of a sudden, like the last two games? And, you know, you obviously see he gives this answer. It's sort of political. It's sort of, you know, safe. And he just basically says, you know, I'm getting more familiar with things. And the more opportunities I get, the better I do. That's how it's been my whole career. And I get it. I get it, Kenyon. Like, that's a good answer, man. And I believe you. I believe that's true. Obviously, talented players, opportunity equals production. And so that makes sense. I'm not going to sit here and act like this has nothing to do with John Gruden, though. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like things are getting better. Yes. The team is playing better as a whole. Yes. Offensive line getting better. Kenyon Drake getting more familiar with the system. Better. Derek Carr, the offense starting to roll a little bit, definitely helps Kenyon Drake. But I'm not going to act like this has nothing to do with John Gruden. I believe wholeheartedly that John Gruden was not giving Kenyon Drake an opportunity to make these plays. I don't care what the reason is. I don't care what the reason is because it doesn't matter no more because he's not there. Obviously, Greg Olsen doesn't have the problem. Greg Olsen doesn't have this problem with Kenyon Drake because, you know, there was a time where, I mean, he was doing fine at some points, but like Peyton Barber was running the ball more. I'm sure if we had Jalen Richard John Gruden would have been running him over Kenyon Drake. You know, they say it's pass protection and this and that. I get it, but why is it working now? Are you telling me that overnight Kenyon Drake became a better pass blocker? Is that what you're saying? Or were you using that as an excuse for why you couldn't figure out ways to get Kenyon Drake involved while not also hurting the team? I think John Gruden didn't trust Kenyon Drake for whatever reason, whether it was some bad pass blocking plays, some miscues, whether, you know, he wanted him to get more familiar with the offense. You can call it whatever you want. But this team signed Kenyon Drake for a reason, for a lot of money. And he's doing that now. He's earning the money that you signed him for. Why? Because you're using him that way. 14 carries after Jacobs goes out, you know, total for the game. Like I said, almost 70 yards, running at a good average, got the touchdown. Not too crazily involved in the passing game. I mean, Rashard had more, Jacobs had more. But that's just the way, you know, it played out. Kenyon Drake was being, no matter how you want to put it, Kenyon Drake was being, you know, held back by John Gruden, in my opinion. And this is one of those things where I say that John Gruden effect, where he doesn't trust certain players, he needs to see more, he doesn't have the confidence in you, but you signed the guy to all this money. You signed him for a reason. You can't tell me you gave him all this money and then didn't trust him. Like, how does that work? That's the same thing that we go back to when the Raiders were drafting players like Lynn Bowden and then trading him before the season starts. I don't know. I don't believe that was on Mike Mayock. I don't believe he said, yeah, we got to trade this guy. I think John Gruden was trying to squeeze him into something that he wasn't ready for or it didn't make sense in the moment. And John Gruden was like, yeah, let's get rid of him. How? Why? Why so fast? You can't make that draft pick and then trade him. And obviously Mike Mayock has a part in that, but we all know John Gruden called the final shot. So, you know, Kenyon Drake is having more success now. It's a credit to a lot of things, but I will not take it off the table that John Gruden was holding Kenyon Drake back. I do 100% believe that. Moving on, you know, the defense did get really active in this game. I mean, let's talk really quick before I wrap up the offense. Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs were two rushing touchdowns. Foster Moreau filled in for Darren Waller, big time stepping up, caught a touchdown, 60 yards. He was actually the leading receiver yard-wise even for the Raiders. So that was good. And if you follow on Twitter, again, at Clock Dodgers, I talked about it. There was, people asking about Darren Waller out last minute. You know, what do we do? And I said, hey, just put Foster Moreau in. You'll be fine. Don't even worry about it. I meant it, and it played out that way. And these are the kind of little things that I'm talking about, especially when it comes to the Raiders. I'm so in tuned here with what's going on, right? When we follow the team like we do, we know, like, Foster Moreau is waiting for an opportunity to break out. Like, he's behind Waller, not because he's bad at football, but because it's Darren Waller. And we know that. As Raider fans, we know that. So fans of other teams, fantasy football players, those kind of things, they're not really paying attention necessarily to backup tight ends. Tight ends behind one of the best tight ends in football, to me, the best tight end in football. So we know those kind of things. They don't see that, but it was great, you know, insight, and it helped a lot of people out. So if you follow, again, at Clock Dodgers on Twitter, Instagram, we can talk about these kind of things. We chop it up on there. We drop these little gems out there in the timeline for people. So he had a great game. Brian Edwards finally caught a touchdown this season. Love it. Well-deserved. Nice to see them go for it there. And overall, just a pretty good game. Zay Jones, you know, one catch with 43 yards. It was a nice big catch for him. He seems to get those a lot. Hunter Renfrow, even again, fantasy guys, 7 receptions. It was only 58 yards, but 7 receptions. When Waller's not in, Renfrow is the guy. Just a fact. Ruggs was super quiet, right? 4 for 24. But I expected that in this game. The Eagles don't necessarily give up a ton of deep balls. And then, you know, Devonta Smith knows him and knows how he plays. And he even kind of keyed to it before the game. Like, we know this specific play that he loves to run. We're not going to let him get that off today. So, like, they knew what was up. But overall, you know, great job by the offense. Now, moving over to the defense really fast. Man, guys went off. We had turnovers. We had sacks. It looked good again. Can we talk for a second? Max Crosby has 19 quarterback hits. 19, most in the NFL. Pressures, 40. most in the NFL. What else is there to say? The guy is ripping it up, not to mention the damn sacks. He's just killing it. And then when you throw in the fact that, you know, in this game, for instance, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, he goes off, he gets his couple sacks, and he talks about, you know, how him and Max motivate each other, they make each other better. This is what he had to say post-game when asked about it.
Absolutely, that's my brother. I'm going to speak on how he's helped me. He's helped me the way we practice. We always compete with each other, from our get-offs to how clean we eat, to all the way to how much extra work we put in after practices. If you watch practice, we're the last two guys to leave. And I always notice him looking at me and trying to figure out how he can compete. And I'm always doing the same thing, trying to look at him to figure out how I can compete. And that's what I love about him. He's a guy that busts his ass every day. I see a lot of myself in him, and that's why he's having tremendous success.
So major, major love there for Max Crosby. These two are just ripping it up. They're crushing it. They're crushing it. And not to mention, you got guys like Solomon Thomas, Quentin Jefferson. Like, they're wrecking havoc in there. They're wrecking havoc. They're coming together. It's making sense. The linebackers are doing their job. Even Corey Littleton was getting busy out there. Perriman's been killing. I think he might lead the leading tackle still. Just crushing it. Super active. And then the secondary, which was a weakness for a long time. Coming into the season, a lot of people still like, hey, man, this team is really young in the secondary. Can we trust them? Can John get it together? Can the secondary pull it together? Man, Casey Hayward has been killing it. He literally is the definition of a lockdown corner for us. Just absolutely insane how he's been just crushing it. Just absolutely crushing it. Like, he's basically, at this point, a lockdown corner. He's about as close as we're going to get to a lockdown corner right now. Face on. This dude gets signed after the season's already started. After a few games into the season. He led the team in tackles this past week. He's actually pretty locked down himself. He's long, rangy. I like it. I like when players like this come out of nowhere. Good for him and his career. Good for the Raiders and the general manager and everybody for spotting this kind of player, for making sense of this, for seeing this opportunity, you know, become available and taking advantage of it. Like, I mean, this is a real defense. This is a real defense. And the depth, we have some real serious depth on both sides of the ball, honestly. But the defense, having depth on the defense for a Raider fan is just unimaginable at this point. As bad as it's been, as what we've gone through as Raider fans the last 10 years, this is so hard to understand how it's happening. We're not familiar with this territory in a long time. So I'm definitely welcoming it. And most of all, you know, we're going into the bye week now. There's no game this week for the Raiders. They head into the bye week 5-2. And it just feels good, man. It feels good. And, you know, Derek Carr was asked a couple of things after the game that I do want to highlight before we go. One about him being, you know, this stepping up as a leader more. Not that he wasn't a leader to start with, but just assuming that role even more. And this is what he had to say when asked about it.
You know, I talked a little bit to Steve Wood about this. You know, when Coach Gruden would walk in a room, all eyes are on him, you know. And when we lost that, someone has to fill that void. And it's not only me, but obviously as the quarterback and leader, I've been here a while. I was like, you know what, I got to take that part of what I do to another level.
So Derek's talking about that burden, that extra burden that he carries with John Gruden being gone. Now, don't get me wrong. I've actually emphasized the positives of John Gruden being gone. I do think it's had a positive effect on this football team, not only in the team coming together, not only in the team, you know, having to ride for each other, you know, and come together to prove the doubters wrong, because they know that when the John Gruden news happened, a lot of people guaranteed that was their death sentence. That was the, you know, it's over moment for the Raiders. Oh, all that positivity to start the season. You guys have lost a couple games and you just lost your head coach. Yeah, it's over for y'all. And so the Raiders have come closer together because of that. And it's not just that. I think the play calling has gotten better. I talked about it. If you're a new listener, I talked about it on past episodes since John Gruden's resigned. But if you've been listening, you're familiar with this whole idea that I have going here, where, you know, John Gruden not being there has taken the reins off of everybody, not just the players, who to me, just when I hear them speak, I feel a sense of like a weight off their shoulders. I really do feel that way. I feel like they can breathe. And I could be wrong. I mean, the players always supported John and seemed to like him, at least, you know, in public and how they spoke about him. But it does feel like they feel a little weight off their shoulders in terms of someone that's, you know, watching them to the, you know, every word they say, every way they act, is constantly screaming and yelling and doing all these things. I feel like, you know, the players definitely feel that being gone. The coaches as well. The play calling is better. It's more free. It's more loose. I'm sure Mike Mayock feels that. Like, hey, I got myself a little chance here. He seems stressed out going into the season. Like, hey, if we don't perform, if we don't do well, I'm out of here. I'm back on NFL Network. I think he feels a little better about it right now. The team is 5-2. They're heading into the bye week. They're going to get healthy. He's able to add and cut players as he pleases. The coaches are, they don't feel this one force, you know, hanging over them. And I believe it's been a dramatic, you know, turn of events. But the bye week is coming in just at a perfect time, you know, for guys to get in, you know, healthy, because there's a lot of injuries that, you know, I would love to see a lot of these players come back right now and just be better and be active and be, you know, ready for the long stretch here. It's a positive record, you know, going not like, oh, not 500 or something like that. Like, you know, we're 5-2. Like, this is really good. And, you know, it's just a perfect time for a bye week. And even Derek Carr was asked about this as well post-game, and this is what he had to say.
I would say it's a good time for us. You know, I don't think there's anything around that. I need some time, you know. I didn't really get time to process everything, you know, if I'm honest. You know, I it was literally like, oh, shoot, next game, you know. And it was kind of weird like that. It wasn't like we were 0-6 and you saw something coming or anything like that. It was just a surprise. So I think with the injuries, with everything our team's been through, this bye week couldn't come at a better time.
Derek's speaking like a man who needs a break. It's a lot for him, man. Seriously, on a serious note, it's a lot for him. Not the sport of football, which is a lot for all these guys. But you can tell that while he stepped up in a leadership role and he's done what he needed to do to keep this team solid and strong and together through all this, that he needs an emotional, mental break. It's not a physical break for Derek Carr as much as it's a mental and physical thing, mental and emotional thing, because he's going to be the leader of this team going forward. He's the guy that will determine if this team makes the playoffs, wins a Super Bowl this year, all these kind of things. They're going to fall on Derek Carr. And so it's one thing that's there, but there's also the burden of no longer having John Gruden, who, for better or for worse, whether I feel like the team is better or not without him, it's still something that Derek Carr loved and respected and admired and is used to, and it's not there anymore. It sounds like from outside interviews that I'm seeing with Derek, if the quotes are facts, that he, you know, wants people to forgive John Gruden and these kind of things. I'm not here to speak on that. But I mean, the point I'm getting at is he's emotionally invested, you know, in John Gruden. And so this has been a lot. But I think this is a chance for him to prove, even if it's for him, like, hey, John, I know you're not here, but let me show you that everything you taught me worked. It worked, because look at who I am now. Whether you're here or not, I'm going to finish the job type of thing, you know? So if that's something that's helping push Carr, I'm okay with it. I'm good with it. Other than that, guys, that's everything following the post-game victory against the Eagles. Again, we're heading into a bye week. I will continue to drop episodes throughout the bye week, so don't think that the podcast goes away just because Raiders football goes away for a week. We're going to continue to drop content. There's still news. There's still updates. There's things happening. So we're not going nowhere. Make sure you're locked in. You're subscribed. It's the easiest way to do it. Just be subscribed. You'll get a new episode dropped. Every time it drops, you'll get a notification. You'll know it's out and you'll get to enjoy it. If, you know, you're subscribed but you're still missing episodes somehow, follow on Twitter. I always post the episodes on Twitter, Instagram, all those good places, at Clock Dodgers across the board. You can find me there. And then, of course, again, if you have topics you want to hear me discuss, you can message me on those apps. Just tweet at me, whatever. Or you can leave a 5-star review on the podcast app. And the reviews that are there, I will read them. So whether it's a question along with the five-star review, whether it's, you know, a comment, whether it's something you think the team should do, a feeling you have on something I spoke about, whatever it is, drop it there in the reviews. We still need more reviews for sure to let new Raider listeners know, hey, man, this is the podcast. This is the go-to one. This is where you're going to get that real talk. You're not going to get no bias. You're going to get high energy. You're going to get truth. You're going to get full team coverage, multiple episodes a week, all that good stuff. So you got to leave that in the review so they know, because there's lots of Raider content out there. And you don't want them to miss us because your review ain't sitting there. So I appreciate you guys for subscribing. I appreciate the reviews. Keep dropping them. Don't slow up. Share it with a friend. Let them know what's up. This is a Raider Nation. We go hard. And it's a community. It's a family for real. And that's the best part about, you know, being part of the Raider Nation. Honestly, it really is. So I love you guys. I'll catch you next episode. And as always, what happens in Vegas is Raiders football.
This is the Clock Dodgers Podcast.